I probably won't be very long tonight. I don't know that I really call this preaching, but I've got something I felt like going this direction and sharing with you. And, you know, I told you the other day when I was preaching that if you ever, the Lord ever gives you something, to write it down. And sometimes if you don't, you'll wake up the next morning, you'll lose it. And anyway, this is something that just it kind of hit me a little bit strange, and I got to doing some more digging on it, and I've got notes that I've never preached, I've got sermons that I've studied out that I've never got to minister, and you know, I don't know if maybe they was just for me. I don't know. You know, a preacher preaches to himself more than he does to anybody else. And but if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the Luke chapter 22 and verse number 3. I'm going to read a verse here. Just if you will turn there, I want you to see this as well. And if you'll allow me to kind of bring you up to speed on what's taking place here, this chapter starts out with the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That's the time when the most holy days that. When they kill the Passover and take of the Passover meal, this is where we get our where we take our communion from. The example that Christ set here, and he says in verse number 3, and then entered Satan into Judas. Surname is Carrot. Dad always called him Issacharot, being of the number of the 12. From this time forward, Judas starts to plot. He starts to think about how he can betray Jesus. And Jesus goes and he tells the disciples that all 12 were there. That verse tells us that he was being numbered of the 12. Every one of them was present. And Jesus tells them the disciples to go and prepare a place for the Passover meal, and tells them where to go to get the place, the room, the room where they was going to be gathered there. He tells them where to go to find it. And he's talking about, in this passage, he's talking about Satan. He's talking about the betrayal. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, about the bread, and the bread is his body, and the blood is the wine is his blood, and then all of a sudden he shifts gears and starts going in a different direction. After he talks about the kingdom of heaven and setting in the kingdom and eating and drinking. And I want you to look in verse number 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This passage kind of struck me a little strange. Here he's just talking about the upper room and the kingdom of heaven, and then he turns to Simon Peter. He addresses him twice here. Simon, Simon. And if you go back to the original text and look at the context in which this is written, he calls out Simon's name. But then he turns to the other 12, all 12 of them, and he says here that Satan had desired to have you. He's not just talking to Peter here. He's talking to the other 12, the other 11. He says, Satan had desired to have you. But then, I want you to see what happens. He says, I have prayed for thee. There's a different pronoun here. Now he's talking directly to Peter. That thy faith fail not. But I have prayed thee that thy faith fail not. It's not that he didn't love the other disciples. It's not that he loved Peter more than the rest. Matter of fact, we know John was the disciple Jesus loved. But it was like he was saying that Satan would desire to sift every one of you as wheat. But Brother Virgil, he wants you. He turned to Peter and said, he wants you. Peter was the one that Satan desired to have. You know why? I believe that Satan desired to have Peter. The devil has the ability to see the potential in you that you cannot see yourself. I know Peter is he's the one that we oftentimes, a lot of times ministers, he gets a bad rap. Peter is the one that could not shut up. Peter, he was the one that was compulsive. He was the one that acted before he ever thought. Peter was the one that would say the right thing at the wrong time. For instance, whenever they come to get Jesus after the betrayal, scholars tell us that there was approximately 600 Roman soldiers that come together, Peter. You'll find out from Scripture that Peter was one of two disciples that had a sword. And whoever thought it was a good idea to give Peter a sword in the first place? But Peter is the one that draws out his weapon and decides to take on 600 soldiers by himself. I don't think he was thinking right at the time he done that. Peter was compulsive. Peter is the one that he started sinking and when he took his eyes off of Jesus. He's the one that denied Christ three times before the cock could crow. We talk about his shortcomings. But Peter also had his successes. An interesting fact. Did you know Peter was not the first disciple that was called? You'll read in your Bible that Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. He first started following Christ and then he went and got his brother Peter, Simon, and Simon became the second apostle of Christ. But everywhere you read in the Scripture where the 12 disciples are mentioned, whose name comes first? It's Peter. He's mentioned first in every account that I could find. The Great Confession. You'll read about it in Matthew chapter 16. I'll start reading at verse number 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We talk about Jesus walking on the water. We talk about Peter sinking. But you got to give it to Peter. He was the only one in the boat that had faith enough to step out. He was one of three that was on the Mount of Transfiguration that day. And he sees the glory of God come down. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 4, "And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." It was Peter again. Peter is the one that preached on the day of Pentecost. You'll read about it in the book of Acts. 3,000 souls were saved that day and added to the church. You can read the entire message that Peter preached in 3 to 4 minutes if you're an average reader. In Acts chapter 10, you'll find out that the Gentiles, because of his visit to Cornelius' house, the Gentiles, even though we're not birthright citizens, we're adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ as children into the family. You'll find out that the Gentile children got entered into the kingdom of heaven. Peter was the one that delivered the first message to the Gentiles. And by the way, I wrote down this verse. You can read about it later if you want to. The whole chapter is a good reading. Look at verse 44. "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word." They had a Holy Ghost revival with the Gentiles. And Peter was the one that was preaching the revival. We talk about his faults and his failures, but he also had great successes. Peter was the first one to see the resurrected Savior. Luke chapter 24 and verse 34, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." Peter is the one that wrote two books in our Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Both books were addressed to Christians who were suffering some of the greatest sufferings at that time. But Jesus says, "Peter, I have prayed for thee." Satan is after you, but I prayed for you. We have to be aware of the fact that he prays for us. I want you to go back, and here's what caught my attention. I want you to go back and look at verse number 3, Luke chapter 22 and verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, being of the number of the 12. He didn't enter into Peter. He entered into Judas. And what got my attention was why he entered into Judas when it was Peter that he wanted the most. I can tell you why. Peter was not for sale. Judas said, I'll take 30 pieces of silver. The devil can tell if you're more hungry for the world than you are for his word. He wanted Peter. But Peter said, no, go find you a Judas. Peter is the one that he wanted, the one he desired. He knew the potential that Peter had. He knew that Peter could stand one day and 3,000 would be converted. He knew Peter would be the one that would stand up and preach a message to the Gentile world. The devil knows your potential. Jesus has prayed for you. And the devil says, if I can't have you, I'll take Judas. He'll bring anguish. He'll bring sickness. He'll try to sift you as wheat. That's what Jesus told Peter. He said, he'll try to sift you as wheat. But devil, go find someone else that's in it for the money. Devil, go find someone else that's in it for the popularity. Someone else that's in it for the fame. I'm not for sale. Our church has been here for right at 40 years now. And Brother Virgil, there was just a handful of us that started this little church in a building down on 4th and LaVar. I've seen God move. I've seen the devil come against us. But guess what? The church is still standing. And I'm here to tell the devil, go find you a Judas church somewhere else. This is not your church. We have a heavenly Father that likes what's going on at the house of prayer. And I believe with all of my heart, He is praying for this church. When we see God doing the things that He's doing in a church like He's doing at the house of prayer, you can mark it down. The devil is going to try to sift us. He's going to try to cause division and opposition. He's going to try to cause problems. But I'm here to tell you, devil, go find you a Judas church somewhere else. I'm not backing down. This church is not sold out to ever standard and ever principle that that this world has. We're standing on the Word of God. And sometimes, parents, you have to do the right thing and stand up because it is the right thing, regardless of what the world says. You may be an unpopular parent right now, but it'll be okay because He's praying for you. I'm not backing down from what He has given us. I want you to go to an Old Testament passage of Scriptures, if you will. And I felt like reading this tonight. It's found in Zechariah chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 2. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was on nature, on birds. We're, I think, going to be getting into some of the trees and the rest of the nature probably in lessons to come. I want you to look at what this says. How, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen. You know why the fir trees howl? You know what the writer is saying here? The great cedars. We've all heard of the cedars of Lebanon, tall and majestic in stature. whenever one of the great cedars has fallen, it will crush the little firs. I don't know why I'm preaching this tonight. It's what the Lord laid on my heart. But if the devil can get one of the great cedars to fall, Brother Isaac, can I pick on you a minute? If you fall, you've got five little children that are going to get hurt. You're the cedar and they're the firs. Am I making sense? Brother Virgil, if I was to fall, I'm not saying that I'm anything great or anything special, but if I was to fall, this church would be affected. There would be youth, some of these youth that we just love and are so proud of. There's some of these youth that never would recover because they have put their faith and their trust in a pastor that led them wrong, that stumbled and fell. The devil desires every one of you . But Jesus turned specifically to Peter and says, I'm praying for you. Why? Because he knew that Satan wanted him. I'm here to tell you, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a song leader, if you're a musician, if you're just a laity in the church, that's faithful. Satan is desiring you. If you've got children, if you've got influence, if you've got a testimony, if you've got an outreach, he wants you. And if he can't have you, he'll have to settle for a Judas. The devil wants people with great faith to fall. But I want to encourage you tonight that Jesus, he is our strength and he is our help. I've done my best tonight. I don't know why I went this route, but it's the way that I felt led to go. But I feel like somebody needed the encouragement tonight. Don't give up. Don't give in. He sees you where you're at. And the God of heaven is praying for you. Why? Because the devil wants you.